You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast, and we are finally gathering together at the Lyric Theater in person in a limited capacity on Sunday mornings. And there are two ways to join us. So go to restorationlex.com/regathering, where you can reserve a seat and find out everything you need to know about our in-person gatherings, or click on the link and join our Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., wherever you are worshiping with us as one big family. Again, that's restorationlex.com/regathering. All right, let's jump in.
It's the hardest year maybe of our lives. I mean, 56 weeks of walking through the anxieties and the unknowns that await all of us and still await us, the frustration and the fatigue and the fear from being on this side of a computer screen with people you love and you just long to be with, 56 weeks of watching outside of this national turmoil and the news of death all of the time, sickness always calling out, but we're here. We are here. And even though it doesn't look like it used to in the same way, we are here. And even though we can't be fully here as a family, and I know there's some of you at home who aren't comfortable coming yet or didn't get a spot this week or whatever it may be, we're here, we're here, we're here. And this day is special and a day worth celebrating. And it's not because this is some grand big service. We haven't pulled out the fog machines and the lights and the bells and the whistles and the live animals today. Maybe next week. It's not because the power of the message or the worship. What makes this day worth celebrating, what makes this day special, is that we are here. And God is here. And really, that's what makes church itself special, is that we are with one another and God is with us. I think if there's anything that I have learned over this past year, what's clearer than ever is that we share an embodied faith, an irreducibly embodied faith. And for the past year, we have inhabited what has been an even more disembodied world. Now, don't get me wrong, man, God has done so much through technology this past year, connecting us for 56 weeks. I've been blessed to see him. He's moving even still over Zoom meetings and through computer screens, online worship gatherings, but over and over and over and over again, I've heard from you so many times, I just want to be together. And that's not an accident. That is the heart of our faith itself. We see this in the Gospel of John. The very first words of the Gospel of John says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So how does God create the universe? He speaks it into existence. And Jesus, John tells us, is that Word of God. Colossians 1:16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." Hebrews 1:6 tells us that Jesus is sustaining all things by the power of his word. So not only is Jesus God, he is the creative force through which everything exists. Everything we see today, every air that we breathe, is being made and is being sustained by this moment, in this time, by Jesus, in the here and the now. And it's not just that God is speaking out his word in Jesus. It's how he is saying it. It's what he is saying in the form that it is taking. Because if you keep looking down in John chapter 1 in verse 14, these central words for our faith appear. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In other words, Jesus is what God wants to say to the world. Jesus is the Word of God. Every bit of the biblical story is wrapped up in these words that God longed to say to the world, was expressed in Jesus Christ. I love in the Message version, it says, "The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, really stepped into that. In the actual Greek, it says that he tabernacled among us. Now, that is Old Testament language. It's hearkening back to the story of Moses, where as they're coming out of Egypt, God instructs them to build this thing called a tabernacle, which is kind of a portable temple they set up, and that's where his presence would dwell among his people and go with them as they traveled through the desert. So what the scriptures are saying here, what John is telling us, is that Jesus is God's presence dwelling among us. Jesus is God's glory dwelling among us. And not just among us. The amazing and astounding fact is that he became like us. Hebrews 2:17, look at this. It says, "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Meaning, Jesus grew tired. Jesus felt pain. He felt betrayal. He felt heartache. He felt the pain of our own human existence. He did not allow his divinity to shield him from the very same struggles that we face as human beings. The writer of Hebrews, he tells us that this happens. Jesus chooses to become like us in every way for the sake of mercy, for the sake of compassion, empathy, solidarity with us as human beings in our brokenness. And what we see in his life, what we see in his death, what we see in his resurrection, is that he intended this to show us the way forward. Because love, it always moves towards presence, right? Real, genuine love always moves towards being together. Because love is not satisfied standing at a distance. Love is embodied. Because our faith is embodied. Love doesn't protect itself from the pain. It doesn't stand at arm's length from the struggle that we face. Love walks into our world and chooses to be present. And we learn that in Jesus. And what we see in Jesus isn't just this message, this gospel that we proclaim. We see the model for how we live it together. You know, I have this audacious belief that I hope you do too, and that is that the church should not just believe in Jesus. The church should actually look like Jesus, right? Y'all can talk to me. It's okay, please. I've been waiting 56 weeks. You better say some amens and talk to me up in this piece. I am ready. Let's do this. We should look like Jesus as a church, right? We should look like Jesus as a church. But too often we have chosen this disembodied faith. I would describe it this way. A disembodied faith is known by what it's believed apart from what is lived. It's okay that we're defined as Christians just by our doctrinal statement or our theology, and we don't have to have that moved into the practice of our everyday lives. We're just satisfied with that. It remains unconcerned with how those answers, how that theology, how that doctrine impacts the present where we are. We become so heavenly minded, as it's been said before, that we become no earthly good. You know, when we look at Jesus, though, we see God. He reveals himself not in a book, not in a set of teachings, not a political platform, not a theological checklist, but by a person. God reveals himself in flesh and blood. And God is fully and finally revealed in Jesus, in the present, with us and for us as a human being, as the God-man. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus cares about theology. And if you don't think so, read the Sermon on the Mount. That stuff is, it'll get you. It's real. He cares about what we believe about God. But the clearest revelation of who God is in Jesus was his life with us, alongside us, and ultimately his death and his resurrection for us. So I think, Restoration, that the same should be true for us. You know, as I've prayed about what this new season looks like, as I've asked God and sought his will and his presence for who we are supposed to be in this crazy, weird new world that we're in, I believe that God is calling us to the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence. Let me explain what I mean. This is not a new program. We're not starting a new an event or something like this. This is just a renewed posture in the way of Jesus. We already have everything we need to live this out as a church. In fact, this has been central to our story from the very beginning. If you look back in 2017, we began with our mission statement. You can see here on the screen, we believe that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world. And our mission is to join him. And wrapped up in that mission statement is a couple just important truths that we believe that I hope we hold on to today. The first thing is this, is that Jesus is restoring people. Not was, not will someday. Jesus is restoring people in the here and the now. He is actively pursuing sons and daughters to restore them back to God in the here and now. Today, in this room, Jesus is. Not Jesus was. Not Jesus will be. He is alive. And he's active in our lives, restoring us as we are. So Jesus is restoring people. And we recognize in that we are not the primary actors in the mission of God. God is. God is the one who leads out in God's mission. And we say this all the time around here. You've heard it probably many, many times, that God is always present and at work among us. We say that over and over again. That's a central truth for our church, that God does not show up. God is already present. God is already at work in a room like this, or in your home, in your job, in your school, wherever you are. And our mission, the second part I'm talking about, our mission is just to join him, to join God, to discern where God is already at work in our lives, our jobs, our schools, our neighborhoods, our city, and have the audacity, have the courage to step in and to join him. That's our mission as a church, then and now, to know that Jesus is at work, to discern where that's happening, and then to join him. And this is the ministry of presence, I believe, that we are being called to, this ministry shaped like Jesus, this embodied faith in a very disembodied world. This begins for us, it begins by being present to God. You know, at heart, that's why we are regathering, to be present to the presence of God, not because it's where God shows up in this room, but as we gather as a family together, giving our attention and our affection to the God who is already present, then we can be the kind of people that the world is calling us to be as we are present to the God who is already present to us here. There's a story in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, they're arrested for preaching Jesus. They're brought before the Jewish leaders. This is kind of the first hard thing that the early church faces. And after they are brought out of prison, they're released, they go home. And how do they respond? Well, they gather together with their church family and they have a strategy session. No. They don't call an event. They don't try to recreate Acts 2 with a revival. They gather around as a church family and they seek the presence of God together with holy dependence, with holy expectation, praying not even for protection and safety, but praying for greater boldness. This is what it says happens. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happens here? Does it mean that God in that moment, because they prayed, decided, oh, they're doing the right thing, so I'm going to show up? No. The church family, this early church, became present to the God who was already present and at work among them, and they found boldness as a result. Friends, I want to encourage you in this season ahead to press into these gatherings together. We believe they are important because we, in these moments, can truly be present to the God who is already present in us. You know, we have said all the time, we intentionally make things simple. We intentionally keep lights on. We intentionally try not to be showy for the sake of not confusing excellence with presence. Now, we're not against excellence. We love things to be good, but we want to know that the presence of God does not come because you get a little Jesus fuzzy from your favorite song. We want to know that the presence of God comes because the presence of God is already here, and we have actually showed up. not God. Because something changes. Something changes, my friends. God's going to be in here whether we know it or not, whether we act in that way or not. But the question is, when we gather together, will we be present to the God who is already present to us? I want that to happen. I want, as we gather on Sundays, these moments, even for you guys on the live stream, these moments to be the place where we are present to the God who is already present to us. And out of that, the very same result we see in Acts chapter 4, and that is boldness. Not that we just walk away and think, man, that was awesome, but that we are sent out on mission with God in the boldness of the Holy Spirit to speak His word. That's why we gather. And that's why I want to encourage you to continue pressing into these gatherings. Secondly, by present to God, but the ministry of presence is also meaning we are present to one another. Over and over again, I have seen in moments of heartache and pain, I've been in those waiting rooms in the middle of the night. I've been in the funeral homes. I've been there, and I've seen, and you know this, that it's not the fantastic spiritual advice. It's not the person who has the right Bible verse in that moment that makes everything better. It's the person who is consistently and intentionally present with you, right? It's the person you know is just there. And sometimes the people, I'll be honest with you, and you know this, sometimes the people that want to bring that the true words of God, and a lot of times what they're saying is very much true, but the greatest depth of love that we can have for one another is the choice to be present in these moments of pain. That's been the hardest thing this year because we all have been going through so many places of pain and isolation, and the very thing we needed most was just to be present with one another. And I think God uses this season, He's used this past year to teach us this. Ephesians 4:2 tells us, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And that Greek word there for bearing with, I hope I say this right, I'm sure there's some Greek scholar watching right now, it's gonna make fun of me, but anechemai. You gotta give a little bit of a, you know, hawk it up there. Anechemai, Greek. It's probably wrong, but I'm going to go with it. Anechemai, but it means to stand firm under and bear weight. Think about a load-bearing wall. It's not simply a wall that is separating space for your home. It is a wall that is built in to bear the weight of the entire structure. It is there bigger than just aesthetics. It's holding everything together. And Paul is telling us this is what it actually means to love, to be present and bear the weight of our lives together. Jesus tells us, John 13, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Most of us probably know that. We have heard that verse. But love isn't sentimentalism. It isn't being nice. It isn't known. We're not known as Christians by being the nice, happy people. We are known. We're supposed to be known by love. And love, as we see in the scriptures, is a consistent willingness to show up, to be present with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, long before this pandemic even started, we were sounding the alarm about how we were living in a culture of isolation that we live in right now. And this pandemic has further exposed this. There was an October Harvard study this past year, and it found that 36% of all Americans, including 61% of young adults and 51% of mothers with young children, feel serious loneliness. We have a loneliness epidemic in our country. This past year has made it even worse. And I'll tell you, Restoration, we have never needed to be the church more. We've never needed to be the family of God for our city who shows up and bears the weight of our lives together. I have been so amazed and honored and blessed to watch how home churches have kept pressing through. You have kept going. And I know, let's just say this right now since we're here, Zoom fatigue is for real. Anybody feel the Zoom fatigue right now? I'm over Zoom. It feels so good to be here. But you guys, for over a year, you have continued to press in and press through this frustration and this fear. You have been stubbornly consistent, and you have shown tangible love in a lonely and weary and tired world. And that's why home churches, you might think that now that we're gathering, they're going to go back to being second place. No, they were never second place. Because this isn't church. It's just not just an hour on Sunday where we show up and then leave. Church is people. Church is family. What we do here on Sunday mornings connects intimately to the lives that we choose to live together, showing up and being present in the pain with one another. I want to see, I'm praying for not only revival in our home churches, but we want to see new home churches start. I believe God's going to stir in some of your hearts, either here in this room or watching on the live stream, to continue to grow home churches so that people can connect and learn how to love one another like Jesus loved us, because that is what we are supposed to be known for. And I said that that's the perfect way to move into the last idea of the ministry of presence, and that's to be present to our world. That second half of our mission statement, that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world. God's restoring work, it never stays in us. It starts in us, but it never, ever, ever stays in us. Like the Jesus we follow, we are the ones who are called to become what we want to say to the world. We learn together as a church to embody the faith, embody the beliefs that we claim. And because of this, because love is always pushing us towards presence, we move towards being present in the world around us. We can't look out at this city and say we love them and stand and hold them at a distance. We can't do parachute drop ministries, which are good and help, but what this city needs is a church who is willing to not just stand at a distance and help when they're needed sometimes, a church that will actually be present in the pain of people's lives and the need that we see. That is who we, as the Jesus people, are called to be. 1 Peter 2 tells us, you are a chosen people. This is important here, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know what a priest does? A priest is someone who's called to stand in the gap. They're called to contend on behalf of God to man and called to contend on behalf of man to God. That's who we are, Restoration. That's who we are as Jesus' people, the church. We're called to be the people in which heaven and earth meet, in which heaven and earth come together. It's why we say all the time, in Lexington, as it is in heaven. That is our prayer as Jesus taught us to pray, to see the realities of heaven be realities on earth and to work and to live towards this together. We are a people of God's presence, not taking God where he's not, because as we know, God is already present and at work, but recognizing together, discerning in the presence of God where he already is at work and joining him in this. That's our mission. That is our mission. That is our mission, to join him, to join the work he's already doing all around us. I believe that our withness is our witness in this disembodied world. Being with God, being with one another, and being with the world around us in tangible, loving ways. There's a scene in Exodus 33 where the Israelites, they've just created this idol. They begin worshiping it, even though just a few chapters before, there's a whole Ten Commandment about this. And Moses goes up on the mountain, he's with God, and God is jealous. He's angry because they have rejected him. They have rejected him outright. And Moses is pleading with God, and he makes this statement. He says, God, I don't want to go anywhere without your presence. In fact, he says, how will anyone know that you are our God and that we are your people unless your presence goes with us? That, my friends, is who we are being called to be, a people of the presence, because we are choosing to be a people who are present. So, Father, I want to come to you now, because you are here. You didn't show up. God, you were here waiting. And Jesus Christ, you are of the open arms that welcome us into your presence. Your word says we can come boldly before the throne of grace with confidence. As we close today, we just wanted to take a time, just as individuals, right where we are, just to stop, to slow down, and to be present. This past year has been insane. It feels like we've never really been able to settle into anything. Everything is always changing. And even in our homes, even in the reality that we face right where we are, it's so, so, so difficult to be present. And so let's take a few moments where we are, right where you are with God, recognizing, welcoming him, inviting him to do the work that he's already planned to do in your life. So let's just be still for a moment.